From Spark and Anvil and LifeQuest, this is Phil in Chapter 1 of the LifeQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. At the front desk of the Whispering Woods Animal Sanctuary, a careful stork tween named Phil stood on one leg and read a form all the way to the bottom before he touched his pen. The paper was long. Tiny boxes marched down the page like ants. Another kid might have started scribbling at the top the second it landed in front of them. Phil didn't. He held the clipboard tucked into his chunky vest, tilted his head, and read every single line first. Name, address, phone, the box near the bottom that most people never noticed. "You haven't written anything," a squirrel behind him said, drumming its paws. "The desk closes in 20 minutes. Just go." "I'm not stalling," Phil said, not looking up. "I'm loading the whole thing into my head. Then I only have to write it once, carefully, instead of three times in a panic." He clicked his smooth blue pen and began. Name, slow and even. Address, phone, check twice against the little form card in his vest. When he reached the end, he did the thing that made him Phil. He went back to the top and read it all again, line by line, the way you'd walk a path a second time to make sure you dropped nothing. Near the bottom, half hidden, a box asked something the squirrel had never even seen. Phil ticked it, blew on the ink, and slid the form under the glass. "See," he said, "2 extra minutes, and now it's done. Actually done. Not almost done, with a surprise waiting inside it."
Phil had learned that the hard way, back when he was small and quick and sure of himself. There had been a sign-up sheet for the summer river trip, the one he'd wanted all year. He'd grabbed the pen, scrawled his name, and run off to brag before anyone else could take a spot. He hadn't read past the first line. 2 weeks later, the list came back. His name was crossed out. He'd left the whole bottom half blank, the part that asked whether a grown-up had said yes, whether he could swim, whether anyone knew he was coming at all. To the people organizing the trip, a half-empty sheet didn't mean careless. It meant not really signed up. He'd stood there with the crossed-out line burning in his chest. It wasn't that he couldn't do it. It was that he'd been so fast, he'd skipped the part that mattered, and now there was no undoing it. An older stork who ran the office had crouched beside him. She didn't tell him he should have tried harder. She just said, "Feels awful, doesn't it? Like the paper cheated you." Phil had nodded, miserable. "It didn't cheat you," she said gently. "It waited for you. Forms always wait. They only ask one thing back, that you look, read the whole thing, fill it in slow, then go through it once more before you let it go." She tapped the crossed out line. "This didn't happen because forms are cruel. It happened because you rushed, and rushing is the only thing that beats you here." Phil did not get on the river trip that year, but the awful crossed-out feeling turned into something he could use. Look first, check twice. Somehow that made the paperwork stop feeling like a trap.
He walked to LifeQuest at 12, because a place that taught people how to handle the grown-up world ought to respect the slow, careful kind of work. Steward, the mentor who ran the sessions, met him at the door with a form and a question. He didn't ask Phil to prove he was clever. He just held out a crumpled job application and said, "Fill this in for me." Phil took it and paused. He read the whole thing before his pen oozed. Then he filled it, top to bottom, each letter neat. And then, without being told, he went back to the first line and started checking. Halfway down, he stopped. "This box and this box contradict each other," he said. "It asks my age here, and it asks my birthday there, and the birthday doesn't match the age I wrote. One of them's wrong." He fixed it, quietly, and kept going. Steward watched him catch the slip nobody had planted on purpose. "Most people," he said, "would have handed that back proud and wrong. You handed it back slow and right." "Slow isn't the same as stuck," Phil said. "I'd rather spend 5 minutes now than a week waiting to find out I made a mistake." Stuart nodded. "You belong here."
Phil's favorite student was a boy who hated waiting. The boy had a real form this time, a sign-up for the sanctuary's junior pet sitter program, and he'd finished it in about 40 seconds flat. Done, he announced, shoving it across the table. Can I go now? Phil didn't take it. Read it back to me first. Why? I just wrote it. That's exactly why, Phil said. Your eyes still remember what you meant to write. They'll skate right over what you actually wrote. Slow down and read it like a stranger did it. The boy huffed, but he read. Name? Fine. Address? Fine. Phone number? He stopped. That's not my number. That's my old number. He crossed it out and fixed it, ears going a little pink. Keep going, Phil said, one line at a time. Don't trust the parts that feel obvious. Those are where the mistakes hide. The boy kept going, slower now. Near the bottom, half tucked in the corner, sat a tiny box. Are you allergic to squirrel fur? He'd sailed straight past it. Whoa, I didn't even see that. Nobody rushing ever does, Phil said. That's the whole trick. The important box is almost never the big one at the top. The boy ticked no, then signed, then dated it, and looked up. If I'd handed it in the first time, they'd have thought you didn't care, Phil said simply, or couldn't follow instructions, and you'd have waited weeks to find out why nobody called. He smiled. Instead, you spent 3 extra minutes and it's right. That's the whole craft. Fill it out, then check every field like you didn't write it. The double check is the move. The boy laughed, surprised at how good right felt. Later, when the desk was quiet, the boy came back with one more question. He was calmer now. How do you sit with it? He asked. The going back part. It feels like admitting I messed up. Phil thought about the crossed out line on the river trip sheet, about the burning in his chest. It's not admitting you messed up, he said. It's making sure you didn't. Those aren't the same. He set the finished form down between them. There's this quiet, steady feeling when you've gone back through and everything holds. Every line checked, nothing hiding at the bottom. It's not exciting. It's settled. Like when you double knot your shoes and then just stop worrying about tripping. The boy nodded slowly. The world's full of these, Phil said. Permission slips, sign-ups, someday the grown-up ones. The house papers, the tax pages that look scary until you read them one calm line at a time. None of them are magic. They just reward the kid who slowed down. He glanced at the door. The double check never feels like much, but it's the difference between crossing your fingers and actually knowing. He watched the boy's shoulders drop, the same restless hurry he'd carried in melting into something quieter. Phil knew that ease. He'd earned it the slow way, one checked line at a time, and it had never once let him down.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Phil. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.